Blog Talk Radio. Anna, good evening.
Hi, good evening. This is Antonia.
And a splendid evening, Antonia. This is Arlie Gordon. How are you this evening?
Wonderful. How are you?
Great, thank you. And I'd like to thank you for joining us on The Gist of Freedom, the radio show. And I'm reading a description of the show and learning a little bit more about you, but for the sake of our listeners, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone a little bit more about the effervescent and talented Antonia Badden. Or is it Badden? I'm sorry.
Badden is great.
Oh, Badden. Oh, you have a French accent. I love it.
Yes, from New Orleans. Well, the listeners are probably kind of familiar with me by now. My name is Antonia Badden, and I perform the one-woman play Zora Returns to Harlem, and it's 15-year-old portrayal about Zora Neale Hurston's story and a life and time of the Harlem Renaissance, the birth of the Renaissance. So it's a great work. It's very educational. It was about a young girl who longed to go to school. And I was excited when Leslie asked me to come on the show and talk about the on-camera technique school that I have that trains young and adults, young people and adults on-camera technique for commercials, TV, and film.
That's wonderful. So what would you like to – we have a lot to talk about. We can talk about your one-woman show if you'd like, or we can talk a little bit more about Dovetail Actors Studio, which is your training facility for would-be actors as well as those who may already be in the field but simply want to hone their acting skills.
Right. Yes, I'm actually the protege of Maria Greco. She was a well-known on-camera coach in New York for over 45 years. She also wrote a weekly article in the Backstage called Drama Log, or one of her articles series was called Drama Log, and the other one was called Straight Talk. And so she actually developed me and helped me understand how to train on-camera technique. And after she passed in 2004, myself and a few other friends, we took over the school and was able to get it off the ground and continue training, on-camera technique. It's an incredible experience for people who are novice in acting. And we start with kids that are 2 years old, and we train all up into whatever age group, preparing people for to do really good work on camera with commercials and TV and film.
Well, as a non-actor, I guess I'd like to know, what's the difference between on-camera acting and or other forms of acting?
Well, on-camera acting, as you know, you're in the frame of the camera. Theater, you have a stage, so you have a huge, you have a lot of room to move around. But when you're on camera, you only have a little frame that you work in between. So you have to understand your frame. And as far as technique, when you're working with professionals, if you notice, the body language and the characters that they do tell a story. And so to the person that's viewing you on camera, viewing a person on camera acting, we see a real person. We see as if we're looking at real life. If the actor is good, they bring us into a real life story.
And
it's almost, you know, instead of watching it through the medium, it's like watching something that's really going on.
Right.
So as an actor, you learn how to portray these real characters on film. You learn how to work within the frame of the character, the frame of the camera, and you also learn what's your style on camera. You learn you can create a style for yourself. You learn what's your good and bad sides about yourself. Because some people have, you know, some people have these great smiles that can just win over everybody. And sometimes you have people who are not smilers, who just don't smile a lot, but they can still win you over because they have this sex appeal or this draw to them that you feel the actor has nourished and developed and is able to bring it to the camera. So on-camera technique, usually start off with, when I start the classes, I usually start off with cold reading. And one thing that students always do is that they're on camera all the time. Like if you were a basketball player and you never got a chance to, you know, you got a lot of coaching but never get a chance to shoot the ball, then you never get a chance to really experience what you can really do with the ball and the net. So on-camera technique, the actor is always on camera. And so the actor is always developing their skills. And the first thing we do, we usually work with cold readings of commercials. Because usually when people go to an audition, you're going to do exactly what you do in real life. You're going to look at the words, and you're going to be reading the words off the page. But technique, when you start off with on-camera technique, cold reading is called cold reading. You learn how to grab the words off the page and at the same time still deliver a story, a beginning, middle, and end. And so we not only do you're experiencing watching a person on camera, but you're also experiencing a story that's happening in the dialogue. So the the actor learns how to effectively create a story for you. And while you're looking into their eyes, you can see the story, and you can see it in the body language, you can see it in their experiences. They bring it to you on camera without you noticing they're reading a copy. Right? So this is the beginning of it. It takes a little while, one, because your brain has to get used to you doing something totally different. And that means you're going to be reading differently. You won't be reading with your head down the whole time. You're going to be reading, and you're going to actually be able to grab words and know exactly each word and still give us the real story. You understand?
Wow.
So that's the beginning of technique. That's the beginning of technique, learning to do that. And then after a while, you start learning to create your story, which takes another process.
Right.
The story, what's going on in the story. So that's what I train. I work with kids 2 years old. I work with the kids 2 years old up to 6 to 8 weeks. And that's just to see if the kids want to be on camera or the adults want the kids on camera. So that's two different mediums, you know. Sometimes the kids don't know why are they coming here, you know, to class every day. And the parents want their kids to be on camera. I find that kids that have this little as if we say they've been here before, you can tell that they have something special, that it's something already in them. They listen, and so it's easy to work with them. And then you have kids that have no idea what's going on, and no matter what you do, they probably won't ever pay attention because they're in their own little world. So I usually go through maybe 6 to 8 weeks just to get a good an idea of the child, and if the child want to be in the class, and if the parent want to go through the process, because it takes time. I always have an interview with people who say they want to have their kids in acting technique classes, because I always allow them to understand that it is a commitment, not for them, but for the child, because once the child is in the class, you have to commit to making sure they don't miss any days, because the mind is getting used to something different, and if you miss a lot of days, you just go back to your same old ways.
But
for the brain to catch on and for the child to be consistent, so usually talk with the parent first about the time frame and who's going to be bringing the child and if they can make the commitment, because it won't be overnight. You know, most kids want their kids on TV like tomorrow. My child is a star, I want on TV tomorrow. But the process is intense because you want your child to really get a chance to experience being with a good agent that's going to keep them on the roster. And agents like kids that really can work, because that's what it's about. It's really about working.
Have the commitment, you know. With children, they can be rocket scientists one day, ballerinas the next. Their interests usually change and or are very fleeting, so they have to be willing to make a long-term commitment to truly craft the craft, so to speak. Antonia, let's talk a little bit about you. I know that you're doing this one-woman show on Zora Neale Thurston. I always get her name confused. What other acting credentials do you have? And then I'd like to talk about some of your student successes as well.
Okay. Most, I guess, coming from New Orleans, you know, people want to know, you know, what you've worked on. But I always was in acting, even as a student in college. And I actually produced my first one-woman show in New Orleans that ran very well. It was called Timeless Wonders, and it was about eight women who was just going through a lot of different cycles in life. And I thought it would be the play. It's a subtitle, Timeless Wonders, because it was pieces of other people's work. But most of the work was written by Sharon Bridgeforth from a book called Voices in the Dark. So it's a lot of her pieces, and so I just kind of named it Timeless Wonders. And the show did very well. So when I came to New York, I worked with Showtime at the Apollo as a talent coordinator and a segment producer, associate segment producer. And I was able to, after that, work with Maria Greco and work with, in my own school. And then I was able to develop the story on your Hurston story. And why I really got a little bit more intense into the Zorro story, because when you're working on a character that's real and true, that's actually lived, you have to do a lot of research. And so the script that I had is 90 minutes long, and I wanted to make sure that, because I had taken the script, it's almost like a monologue that you tell a story through the monologue. But I had the writer, Lawrence Holder, who wrote Zora, allow me to take the script and break it down into 15 different areas where I can really show her life story and use be in her story as it's happening. You know, when she's 9, when she's 14. So I wanted to make people feel her energy at 9 and see as if you were in that time period. So he allowed
me to take her. Yeah, and you want to obviously take people through the different stages of her growth and maturation and diversity as well, right?
Right. So he allowed me to do that. I was able to run Zora, you know, for since two of work in progress. I like to say work in progress because it's always evolving. So I launched it in 2006 at the American Legion, and I was able to continue, you know, doing the show till now. One of my first movies that I ever worked on was with Susan Sarandon. Oh, what's the name of the movie? The movie about the lady, the nun.
Dead Man Walking.
Yes, that was my first big role. It was a really pretty nice role. I worked next to Susan Sarandon.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
And she's a very good actress, too.
Oh, she's an incredible actress.
Now, listen, just for the sake of time, because we only have about 5 minutes left on the show, we both are running a little bit late today, and we apologize to our listeners, but we want to give them the most bang for the buck, so to speak.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk about you being asked to do a Lena Horne one-woman tribute, one-woman show.
Oh, my God.
We're getting excited about that because we know how magnificent and you know, just incredibly talented Miss Horne was and still is through her films and recordings. Would you like to talk a little bit about this potential role so we can really get our listeners excited?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you know, I've been approached by several people to look into the Lena Horne story, worked on it and you know, and trying to develop it. And I was telling Leslie that, you know, Zora was a lot of work. It just didn't happen overnight. So I said instead of me, you know, not really wanting to start getting overly excited and talking about it, I said I wanted to take the time and do a lot of research, because to portray an actor that's real, you want to bring their real life so people can experience them all over again. And they can if you see Fela on, you know, at the Broadway Theater, it is amazing because you're like wondering if the guy that's performing him is him, because it's just incredible. So the same as I've worked so hard to bring Zora to life, and where you can really feel that you experience her, I would like to do the same thing with the Lena Horne story. I would like mm-hmm. to just make sure right now, just take the time and do as much research as I can, find as much information as I can, learn as much as I can about her, you know, her nuances and things that people liked about her, sex appeal, and how she was able to use it in her work and create this great, great work about herself. And she also
had this incredible aura too that you don't see in too many of today's actors and musicians. She just had this air about her that was dazzling, you know.
Right.
Incredible
that was
woman.
Just was fixed on you. You would watch Lena Horne and you would just be fixed on her, you know.
That's right,
like,
transfixed. That's right.
Yeah.
Transfix you.
Yes, and it doesn't matter when you anytime you saw her, she just had you in this trance, and you would just be there, you know. Sometimes I don't even think that you got the whole gist of everything because you'd just be so in the trance watching
so
her.
So absorbed, right?
You know.
So let's give people a timeline because you can't leave our listeners hanging like this, Antonia. You're doing the research now on the roll, and we're talking about a year or so. We're going to start doing some stuff either off Broadway or dinner theaters or what.
I'm thinking about, 6 months. I think that we should be, you know, showcasing something or bringing people into our world so they can
mm-hmm.
see Lena, you know, through me. And, I'm thinking about that time. We should have something ready.
Okay. And I also want to help to plug the studio because I work with teens all over the country. And children all over the country and young adults all over the country, many of whom are very, very, very talented. Firstly, are you're based in New York City, correct? Your studio is based in New York City.
Right. My studio is based in Harlem. I used to be on 44th and 9th for the last 5 years, but now I moved to Harlem for the first year this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you in Harlem? Harlem?
So I'm on Edgecombe, at the corner of 140th. And Edgecombe, and
okay.
I've been there now a year. So, but my number is 917-882-8645 to the studio.
Okay. Say that one more time, a little slower, because you're getting excited just like me, and we want to make sure listeners have an opportunity to write it down. Give us the number again.
917-882-8645.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you also have a website, dovetailactors.org, correct?
Yes. Yes, dovetailactors.org.
Okay. And let's give people a sense of what to expect. If you are 15 years old, for instance, and your dream is to be an actress, what would you expect over how long do they firstly enroll for the acting class? I'm assuming this is a lifelong pursuit, if you will, where a lifelong opportunity to continually refine your craft. But let's give people maybe what they can expect and a timeline associated with that so that we can sort of just let people know, you know, what's going to happen when they walk in your doors if they're really serious about acting.
Right. The first thing they do first thing I make sure I do is I have a meeting with the parent before we do anything. And I give the student and the adult a screen test. And the screen test gives the adult and the child the opportunity to see how they look right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then after with the first class, like I said, you go right on camera. We start doing a lot of cold reading with a lot of commercials. So that way, not only are you getting familiar with the different commercials that are out, but you're also getting prepared to really work when you really start getting the commercials, you know, more commercials. So I start off with just all commercial scripts and just developing the person until I can get them to a point where they're really ready to really work on more and more scripts. Because
okay, last minute. Now, let's be realistic. How quickly would it take for someone to expect to be able to make money acting if they come through your doors? How does that – give us a quick synopsis of how that takes place, because I want to make sure that we give people the real deal, if you will.
Okay, I've had kids in 8 weeks get signed with agents in 8 weeks. I've had kids and adults that takes a little longer. So it's really the individual. So in 10 weeks, I can get a person to a point where they feel really, really comfortable being on camera. If the child or the adult has had experience already, like in theater or done some stuff on theater, especially theater, it may not have to be on camera, but I think if they've done a lot of work in theater, some nice little school plays or, community plays, then it's easier to work with them on camera. But if you're a novice, has never been on camera, has never done theater, it probably going to take you much longer. So I think because the classes are eight to 10 weeks, the first 10 weeks, it's just to get them, you prepared as an actor to see if it's something that you want to pursue. Not everybody wants to stay in, make the commitment.
That's right, especially as a child. I have a 2-year-old daughter who is probably, for all intents and purposes, the next Lena Horne, because she's that effervescent. She's already speaking Italian and counting in Japanese and very effervescent. So me and she may stop by and see you just to sort of hang out and see if it's something that she's interested in. Now, tell people quickly, before we let you go, how they go about getting an agent, because that's the other difficult part, is once you have the skills, once you have the desire and you have the classes, how difficult is it to secure an agent? How does that process work?
Well, when we're in school, what we do is we do a Monday night workshop where the kids and the adults together, they get to see an agent every Monday night.
Oh, that's great. So you bring the agent in on a rotating basis, different agents in, or do you bring one specific agency in that you work with?
Oh, yeah. I'll bring one agent, agent and casting director. And if there's some managers that we already have on our roster, but as I tell you, the school has been around for like 40 years with Maria Greco, so her list of agents and the list of contacts is pretty vast, So we use the same agents, with the different agencies. But the adult kids don't get to see the agents until they're ready to meet them. We also take the kids through a mock interview session, because kids are kids, and if you don't really work with them, how to walk in the door, how to grace the agent. Sometimes they get scared, so you may have a child that's really good and meet a stranger and may not want to say anything.
Right, may shut down, sure.
Right,
sure.
Yeah, the kids are shut down, and you would be just like, I'm sorry. So we do, several mock interviews with other actors to come in and where the kids can kind of get used to interviewing, knowing the right things to ask, sometimes. As adults, we go into an interview, and we get so caught up in the interview, you never ask the information you really need when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I contact you? What's the proper way to keep in touch with you? How would you like? Stuff like that. But you get so caught up in the meeting the agent and telling them all about you that when the agent leaves, you don't have anything. So, we do workshops like that to make sure, it doesn't matter how long you're in this interview, but you need to make sure these three questions, you have an answer for these three questions. Because these are the three questions that's going to help you keep an open relationship with that person.
Right. Well, and you mentioned that you do some type of Monday evening event for the parents and your child actors. Do you do anything that's open to the general public so that if somebody wanted to come out and...
I don't do anything open to the general public because, you don't want to waste an agent's time. Mm-hmm. And if you have a workshop that's full of people that's not trained, you may not get the best people back.
Right, I see.
You want to keep a working relationship and people to respect the students that you're bringing to them or the students that you want them to see and meet. You want to make sure everybody looks really good and they're very well prepared, because you don't get second chances.
Sure.
You can't call somebody and say, I kind of was like a little bad. Could I come? That's, you can't do that. So I didn't set up the workshops. They were all already set and developed through by Maria Greco. And, with her 40 years, 50 years in the business, she was able to fine-tune what was proper and that would effectively keep her in with the agents and managing casting directors. So we're only following the same process because that process works. And
right, sure. Why reinvent the wheel, right? Why reinvent the wheel if it's not broken? Okay, well, I really enjoyed having you on. We ran a little bit over, but I wanted to make sure that we gave people a full perspective of the great work that not only you do personally, but also you do through the acting studio. Ms. Bedone, let's give everybody your telephone number again if they're interested in learning more about the studio or even learning more about when you're going to unleash the next Lena Horne for us.
Okay, the number at the office is 917-882-8645, and our email is studioa@dovetailactors.org.
Now, when are you going to? And we talked about maybe 6 months or so. We'll start hearing some more rumblings about you transforming into Lena Horne for us.
Yes. Let's try six months to a year.
Okay. Well, please stay in touch with Leslie so we can keep your fans and our listeners in the loop. Okay. And we want to wish you continued success in all of your acting and professional aspirations. Again, I may be grabbing my 2-year-old and coming up to Harlem. I'm in Brooklyn, so I'm not too far these days. And continued success in all your aspirations, okay?
Yes, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Stay happy and healthy, and we will be talking soon.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
And we'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight on the Gist of Freedom radio show. We'll be back next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And as always, stay on top and in tune. Thank you.